Hi, I'm Harry Reeder, Senior Pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church, and it's my privilege to welcome you to another edition of Conversations with Harry and Bruce, our Sunday evening presentation, the ministry we're doing until we can resume our Sunday evening worship services. But tonight, the conversation is not simply with Bruce and myself, but also with Reverend Alton Hardy and Jason Williams. Jason, most of you know, he was here while he was going through seminary, he and his wife, and praise the Lord for them and their family. He was our interim urban pastor, and now I'll let him introduce himself in a few moments, and then Alton Hardy, who moved here from Grand Rapids, he and his wife and family, and is now planting the church, Urban Hope, in Fairfield, and we praise the Lord for what's happening there. In light of all of the issues around us in these days, particularly in the matter of the racial unrest, we really just thought immediately it would be great to have them as a part of our conversations and to get insights and to learn from them as well as to dialogue with them. I'm going to be doing the devotional in just a moment, but Bruce, let me turn it over to you.
Well, gentlemen, first of all, let me just say Happy Father's Day to you. I hope you get the tie today that you always wanted from your, at least from one of your children. And thank you for being here. We're grateful not only for the works that God has called these two men to, but even much more than that for the relationship that we've had to learn from each other. So I just want you to take just a minute and let the people know what it is that you do. So, Alton, why don't you start? Just take a minute and tell them what your calling is there, Alton.
I am a pastor, a church planter of Urban Hope Community Church in Fairfield, Alabama. And we've been at it about almost 8 years. This coming August is when I moved here from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my wife, Sandra, we have 5 kids. And we also have a nonprofit as well that my wife oversees called Urban Hope Development, which kind of works alongside the church. And so we're in Fairfield holding to the gospel in these uncertain times, but nevertheless, that's what we're doing. And so, and God is getting the glory.
Hard to believe it's been 8 years yes. since you've been here.
Yeah.
I bet for you some days it feels like 80 years, yes. and some days it feels like you just got here. But
yes.
All I know, Alton, is you didn't have that gray beard when you came.
No, I had a...
yes, I had a... You came here from Grand Rapids, but in a sense, you were coming back toward home anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Born and raised in Sardis, Alabama, which is 20 miles outside Selma. Yeah. And used to hate the fact that I was from Selma. That didn't show up in my sermons, but to be all honest, it has become a very providential part of my life to know that God put me in Selma. I was a poor sharecropper's kid. I took a group of kids down to Sardis about 6 months ago, showed them the dump that I used to eat from.
Wow.
And they were like, wow, this teaching elder in the PCA, what a story. And God is giving me glory for that. And so I'm glad to be here to have this conversation with you guys about race and reconciliation. It's really a true calling of my heart when we get into that subject matter.
Amen. Amen. Jason, tell us about your calling with the Aspire Movement.
Yeah, so a number of years ago, God led me to found the Aspire Movement, which is a gospel-centered mentoring program. And I hate to even call it a program because it's just a platform for relationships to be developed. So you guys can go to the website, aspiremovement.org, and learn a lot more. But one of the things that we're really celebrating now is that the kids that we started with in 2011 as fourth graders are now high school graduates. Many of them going off to college, many of them going into trade school or even entering the workforce right now. And it's just been a huge impact, not only on the lives of the kids, but the families, the guardians who raise those kids, along with the mentors and their family as well. And so now we have lifelong relationships that are established, and we are really encouraging our young people at this pivotal time of their life to now engage in the local church, where the discipleship and the mentoring cannot be from just one person, but it can be from the church body and receiving the means of grace. So I've been married to Jessica, my beautiful wife, who's the smart one, who's the pretty one, who has many more gifts than
I do. By the way, amen to everything you just said. Double amen.
That's right. So we've been married for 16 years. We have an 11-year-old daughter, Kendall, who still loves the soccer ministry here at Briarwood. And she's been talking all of the last couple of days about tryouts. So a lot of fun. This is the space that I'm also called to as well, to reconciliation, but not just racial reconciliation, the reconciliation of God to sinners, because I'm the chief of them. And I think that's the commonality that we all share when we approach these issues. So I'm excited. I'm humbled to be a part of this conversation.
I remember when Aspire was just a word and a concept in the hall. So praise the Lord for your faithfulness in doing that.
Pastor? Yeah, so obviously both of these men, and let me just say, part of this draws out, one of my blessings is I get the opportunity to periodically, although their schedules are really busy, I get the opportunity periodically for us to sit down one-on-one, or the three of us, and it has been so helpful to me to get their insights and to share things, and they at various times have been part of a mentoring group that I do. And so I could, if I start there, I'll never stop. So I'm grateful for that. But one of the things we've been doing is meeting and talking and praying and conversing about this. And I just asked them, would they be willing to share some of their insights and thoughts, not only with our members that are tuning in to this program, but our listening audience is on our streaming ministry is going to continents. And I don't think we're in Antarctica, but we're everywhere else, and 50 states. And so I just thought making this available would be really, really helpful. So I'm going to start with you, Alton, if you don't mind. As you, I mean, you both of you guys are boots on the ground. You're right there in the middle of it. Guys like me are, you know, I'm saying, okay, I have three African-American grandchildren, and we have a predominantly Caucasian white congregation. Now we have a Chinese community, we have a Hispanic congregational community, a Korean congregational community, International Sunday School class, we have a Japanese, and we have a number of African Americans, but it's predominantly Caucasian. And our people, we've been handling this question, Bruce and I, even last week. Mm-hmm. How can we get engaged? But to properly get engaged, to be a part of a testimony of bringing the salt of the gospel and the light of the gospel into this, is to understand and to know and to have insights. And, you know, the Bible's clear. If only a fool starts giving answers until they hear people and ask the questions. So I would love for you to share, as you're there, and I know a number of our people are engaged with what your ministry directly and indirectly, but you're speaking to even beyond that. What would you say to us as to how should we be looking at this, which would guide how we ought to be engaged as believers together, no matter what our skin color is?
Yes, that's a great question, Pastor Reeder. As I'm sitting here today, I'm reflecting. It was almost 8 years ago that I stood here on Briarwood's pulpit, and I was introduced to this prestigious audience. And I don't know if anyone remembered what I said in that time, but I talked about the racial that I thought that was going to come, and it has obviously is here. And what I said then, I say now, Jesus is the only true answer to that problem that we see plague in our country. But I go a little farther. Take Urban Hope Community Church, which I think will be something that I think looking forward, what we should all look at. I think for ministries like a Briarwood and other churches of this hue, how they could come alongside of speaking into this issue from a gospel perspective. I am an urban inner city pastor on the ground, and I've been in that calling for a length of time now. And there are pathologies and issues that are there that are very difficult to speak into. They have to be nuanced in such a way. You have personal responsibility on one hand, and then you have what some would say the big systemic whatever that is. And I try, and there are people who are probably better suited to speak to the systemic. And I used to deal with that area quite a bit. And here's what I found. When I was addressing the systemic, I was frustrated. I was losing hope, because the more I tried to speak to this abstract systemic, I kept noticing something, that the issues in a particular community of like a Fairfield, that it was deeper than just the systemic. It was back to what I know to be true now, is that there's something intrinsically wrong with the human heart in all of us, black, white, brown, red, and in between. It's even in my heart, that I'm born with a bent towards to rebel against God. And so no matter how much I dealt with the systemic, but if I didn't deal with the true issue, which was that we're fallen human beings, and that God needs to step into our story, in which he has in Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, which he promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the first promise of the gospel. And part of what we're seeing now is that we're seeing the unraveling, where the gospel in the areas of race is been mishandled in so many ways, if I'd like to say it. But for Urban Hope, we are head on addressing the greatest problem first, which is our relationship with God, the vertical. And then with that one is aligned rightly, we have peace with God, Romans 5, I'm justified. And then the vertical becomes much more, the horizontal becomes much more easier to land the plane, and people can have reconciliation with each other. And so I would say the best thing that Briarwood has done, not even knowing it that they've done, that you have invested, and I would say could do a lot more, but that's another conversation. but I'm serious about this, Pastor Reeder and Bruce, because you gave the opportunity to put a guy on the ground to address what we see now playing out openly in front of all of America. Some of these, what many are saying, these pathologies of social issues, joblessness, fatherlessness, crime, and everything else. But what you did, that in God's providence, you found a guy who had a heart for that, who was burdened by that, and you put me there in a place, and you put some resources around me that gave me the opportunity to now to preach a gospel on the ground in these communities, which people are saying are being left behind, abandoned. But what if Urban Hope wasn't there? What if Urban Hope didn't exist today in 2020? And since we've been there 8 years, how many young men that you've heard me talk about this from this pulpit, who were not working when I got here, who are now working? More importantly, who are now married, who are now living in Fairfield, who are now in church, being discipled, sitting under the word of God weekly. What if that didn't happen? What if Urban Hope didn't exist, and Briarwood didn't take the chance, or ministries like Briarwood? And so I would say one of the key things that needs to happen is churches in the suburban area, if you want to call it that, find you some true leaders that God in his providence have saved out of these communities. Send these men and women back. Says, we're going to support you. Go back into your communities. Stand flat-footed on the gospel. Preach the gospel of reconciliation and all of what comes out of the gospel, and support them and have them and hold them accountable to what it is that they say they're going to do, and work together. And in that, we have what I've calling a manifold where I can do what I do best. I love when I first met you, you said this to me, and it was probably, I use this a lot, Pastor Reed, you probably forgot it, but here's what you said to me. You said, Pastor Hardy, I'm on this side of the mountain, And pretty much you look at Briarwoods, I'm holding it down pretty good. I said, yes. He says, but you're on the other side. Let us both preach the gospel to both sides of the mountain. Mm-hmm. And brother, I'm telling you, if we could do that together, black and white churches here in Birmingham, I can say this, I can brag on Urban Hope. Urban Hope Community Church people are gospelized in the area of reconciliation. But how is that true? How did that happen? You know how that happened, Pastor Reader? Every Sunday, I stand up and I say, God, yeah, things have been done to me. I'm from Sardis. I've been spit on. I've been beaten down. I've been fired unjustly. I've been called the negative word. And, but I met a man named Jesus. I had so much anger and bitterness in me that no one can get out of me, Pastor Reader. It was there. But something about Jesus, there's something about him. And the Lord knew that I was bound. I was tied up in bitterness and resentment. But the Lord reached down with his gospel. People often ask me, Pastor Hardy, why is it that you don't hold any unforgiveness and bitterness? And I want them to realize it wasn't that I tried hard to break it. Man, Jesus is real. He reached down. But he showed me my sins. I tell people, man, when I saw how sinful I was, guys, I ran to the cross. Here's the funny thing. I haven't stopped running to it. It wasn't a one-time run.
You know, Elton, the very things that you're saying now are the very things I heard you say when you came down and we began to talk about this. And I knew that not only would you be able to help me understand things, but you were committed to the things that we all understood as foundational and true.
Yes.
And that ultimately any reconciliation initiative begins with the gospel message, guided by the gospel message, saturated by the gospel message, and directed by the gospel message. And I thank the Lord for the way you stand flat-footed and preach it every Sunday.
Gotcha.
Let me get over here to Jason, who is now in a parachurch ministry that God laid on your heart pretty much while you were here as interim urban pastor. And so would you share that and your perspective on this, Jason? Now, let me just, you didn't say this. His wife is not only beautiful and brilliant and an amazing woman, but it's a mixed marriage. She comes from an African-American family, right?
That's correct. And I have had the great blessing of growing up in a predominantly black community, being saved in an all-black Pentecostal church in the poorest part of Birmingham, and yet being educated here at Birmingham Theological Seminary and building family, church family with members of Briarwood and still retaining my church family with members of Mount Canaan Full Gospel. And so my experience is somewhat different than most people, I would say, within majority culture. But a couple of things have just continued to kind of play out in my life. And that's number one. I think one of the things that we can do is we can remember that each individual is uniquely created in the image of God.
Amen.
You cannot say that here's the white thought on this, or here's the white guilt problem, or here's the black thought on this, or here's, you know, the black solution to the problem. The reality of it is, if we truly believe the gospel, it starts with the fact that God created us all in his image. And we have to hang on to that.
Creation is crucial.
That's the commonality. That's where we start. That's the starting point. And then, of course, we're all fallen and we're all sinful. And Alton addressed that. But we all need the same Jesus. And for me, and one of the reasons, the impetus behind the Aspire movement was to create a platform where people could cross over ethnic and socioeconomic lines to build friendships. A lot of times we retain our perspective on life. Sometimes it's out of fear, fear of unknown, or fear that maybe we were taught wrongly about individuals, or we have one or two experiences that then shape the way we think about, you know, broader issues or particular races. And the way that we overcome that is by investing in relationships with others who we might even disagree, but learning why we may disagree about a particular issue, because then that opens the door for us to speak truth to the issues. And I know I've learned a whole lot in that process. I'll never forget just one quick example. I was coaching the girls' basketball team at Restoration Academy, and I've heard, you know, phenomenal sermons from you on Romans 8:28 and John Piper and John MacArthur, and I read Martin Lloyd Jones, and you go down the list, and they were all great sermons. But I had a young girl who was 14 years old who witnessed her mother be murdered, and then her grandmother was now taking up not only raising her but three younger siblings. And I remember she walked into the gym after practice, and I just went into the bathroom and started praying. I was like, Lord, how can I minister to her? What can I share with her during this time? And I came out and I approached her, and I let her know I was praying for her. And she preached Romans 8:28 to me in a way that I was literally standing there in tears, because she said, God's not surprised by this. Does it hurt? Yeah, it pains me. But God is in control, and God's going to give me the power to raise these children. And I put my trust and my faith in Jesus. And at that moment, I realized I probably could have told her those things, but the kind of conviction that she shared with me in those moments was an encouragement. And that's where I want us to be, is that these relationships, when you are doing ministry, you are also benefiting from the ministry. Paul says, more blessed to give than receive. And I think part of that is because in the giving, God meets you and gives you things that you absolutely need to continue to follow him. It's just very, very encouraging.
You know, guys, as you know, I've got time constraints on this. But I want to ask you guys, both of you, to do something for me. As you rummage through your heart, and folks, let me tell you all of you that are listening, we're going to make sure you've got information so y'all can make contact with them and Alton and Urban Hope Ministry and the exciting things that is happening in Fairfield, and then Jason and the Aspire Ministry. We'll have contact information for you. But guys, so if you could just, knowing that we have to edit down to focus, if you could just say to these people here, Alton, as you say this, and Jason, remember this. Many of the folks, like I said, we've got wonderful diversity in many ways, but we are predominantly, in our church, predominantly, quote, majority culture, white congregation, and they loved, and had for 50-something years, our first African-American member just died recently at about 103, Lois, Mama Lois, and so she joined us in the 1960s, and I'm so grateful for Dr. Barker's leadership in this area, and the privilege just to keep building on this. But one of the things that, as a pastor, I see, and Frank and I have talked about this, is we and people in that majority culture, it's either I am so intimidated by this, I'm just going to bury my head and pretend like it's not there. And it's not because I don't want it to not be there. I mean, it's not because I don't know it's there. It's that I just don't want it to be there, and I feel so inadequate. And then you have others that say, no, something's got to be done, but I feel inadequate how to do it. I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to do the wrong thing. So you guys have helped me in this area, not only things that we've read together and talked about, but if you could just, with that in mind, for many of our listeners, and actually as a pastor, one of the reasons I wanted y'all to be here so they could listen to you, what would you say to them with those, I'm going to put my head in the sand and hopefully this will go away, or, I'm scared to death and so I'm just not going to do anything because I may do the wrong thing?
Yes. You know, I've been getting lots of questions. What should we do, Pastor Hardy? I'm getting text messages and people are sending me emails. Most of them I don't know personally. And I would say this to the greater audience. Flee and run to the cross. Run to the gospel. Run to John 17. Run to Ephesians 2. run to Ephesians 3 and keep running all the way to the end of the book, to Revelation 5, 7, 9. Ground your theology in the Word of God. I would say to my white pastors who are feeling, many of you are feeling afraid that you're going to say the wrong thing. Stand on the gospel. To my African-American pastors and those all in between, stand on the words of Jesus. What do we know? I try to, Pastor Reader, Bruce, I put myself in John 17 at that scene. I say, Jesus, they say that you're not telling the truth. So if I choke up a little bit here, it's okay. They say that your words are not going to be true. And I was reading those words again this morning, late last night, tears coming down my face. I said, Jesus, the world is saying that we can't be one. They're saying that my skin color prohibits me from being friends with Dr. Reader. And most of all of my life, I've been told what, who I can be friends with. Someone or somebody is standing over me saying that what God says, you're not going to be. And I say, if this is a time for the church in America, let us all push into John 17. And I know many of pastors are afraid they're going to say the wrong thing. But how can you say the wrong thing if you're saying what Jesus has said?
Amen. Amen.
And so that would be my encouragement. Now, people say, what book can I give you? There aren't any more books. I can give you a bunch of books that may take you over to the left side of the field. You don't want that. I'm going to take you to the main book, the book that has been written. And so run to the Word of God, run to the gospel and preach it. Hold to it. We're contending for the faith. And so that will be my encouragement.
Yeah, man, I love you. I tell you, I'm just, that's awesome. Overwhelms me. And the amazing thing is when you go to all these other things, left and right, the fact is they're all rooted in world and life views that cannot solve the problem.
That's right.
I mean, they may give a little insight on this or that, but they can't solve the problem. Yes. In fact, some of them are designed to exacerbate
exactly.
the problem.
Right.
Yeah. So, Jason, take a shot at that.
And just to piggyback off of that, that's one of the things that has been helpful. And I enjoy reading from a diverse spectrum of those books, but at the same time, you have to understand that they're mostly putting forward their own ideologies and in some ways their own religion. And so you have to, if you do read those resources, you have to read them through a critical lens. I would just encourage that. There's two things I wanted to share. Number one, as the body of Christ, we're called to bear one another's burden. And for a long time, I understand the fear behind, I don't want to say the wrong thing or, I don't want to offend anybody. But the reality of it is if one part of the body hurts, then we all hurt. And so there's an entrance that we need to make into relationships where we're willing to bear one another's burden and listen and learn. In doing that, the response to, well, what if I get rejected? Well, what if I get hated on? What if they don't like me? Well, welcome to the gospel message of Jesus Christ, because I think that he promised in this world that we would have tribulation.
Yes.
And I think beyond the racial categories that are big challenges right now that we're facing, it's an enormous issue. I don't want to diminish that. But we're also dealing with classism. We're also dealing with nihilism. We're also dealing with nationalism and all these other isms. And there's a bigger part of the church in America that does not want to be uncomfortable. They want to hang on to the comfort. They want to hang on to the convenience. And we love having these nice, neat little boxes that we can put everything in. And I'll just tell you, and Alton will tell you, when you enter this space, prepare to offend and be offended.
Yes.
When you want to have relationships with people across these various lines, sometimes it's going to hurt. And that's part of, I think, the ministry of reconciliation is I can enter into that. And if I get wounded by somebody's words, am I going to take my ball and go home? Or am I going to say, You know what? Jesus told me, because I'm building off of what Alton said, Jesus's words were, love your enemy.
Yes.
Not just love those who are like you, not just love those who are in the church, but love your enemy. And that's when we're seeing if our gospel that we intellectually believe is really the gospel that we live out, that empowers us by the power of the Spirit, that even in the flesh, when we're like, I don't want to forgive you, I want to be mad at you, I'm angry, that the Holy Spirit in us will convict us and say, I know, Jason, you don't have the ability to love people the way I want you to love them, but here you go. I am going to love through you. And then the world sees that testimony. And we move the needle in all of these areas of life, not just in race, but there's a lot of other issues that we're facing as well. Anarchy being a big one also.
Well, guys, thank you so much. As I said, I was going to finish up with a devotional. We kind of flip-flopped it this week, and these guys, they just kind of teed it up, and hopefully I won't whip this thing. But I'd already decided that we were going to end the devotional with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and both of these gentlemen just quoted it and have been referring to it. Bruce, I'm going to let you conclude the program, but let me just give this last thought to everyone. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we have been, now listen to this, we have been given the message of reconciliation and have been, listen to me, given the ministry of reconciliation. Now that is focused foundationally and pervasively on reconciling men and women who are sinners, ungodly, helpless, and enemies of God to God Himself, because God, when we needed Him but didn't want Him, God who didn't need us wanted us, and He gave His Son so that our enmity has been removed. He didn't love our sin, He hated our sin, but He loved us as sinners and gave His Son to eradicate our problems so we could be reconciled to Him. So we are in Christ. Christ is in us. We have the Spirit of God who indwells us, and we have a personal, intimate, vital, eternal relationship with the living God. Now, if that is true, and God has broken down the barrier of our sin to save us from its penalty, power, and increasingly from its practice, what should that show up as we deal across economic barriers, class barriers, ethnic barriers, and even if I accept for the moment the Darwinian construct of race barriers, what should that show, and what should it manifest as the body of Christ teaches what these men have just said, a gospel saturated, gospel framed, whole counsel of God taught, world and life view, and we do that, and then we model that in the body of Christ as we reach out not only to one another, and there's neither Jew nor Gentile, but all those barriers are broken down in Christ, and then we reach out even to those who would be our enemies and who are declared enemies against the Lord, and love them with the love of Christ that they might be brought to Him, and then we might grow together in the Lord, that message of reconciliation. I hope you heard what, and I know Jason felt has faced the same thing, because he grew up in a minority community, and he didn't tell you about it. Both these guys, their basketball careers and everything. That's a whole, just get to know them to talk about. That's a lot of fun. But then Alton, some of the things, I know where he was. I know what he's faced. And I know some of the things that have been done to him. But you heard him. I'm a sinner. I've been saved by God's grace. Then I cannot hold on to my bitterness and my anger. Two reasons. Number one, it'll kill you. Number two, nobody out there will ever be able to do enough to satisfy your bitterness and anger to remove it. In other words, nobody out there can be your Savior. But when you know Christ and you're reconciled to God, then in the fruit of the Spirit, you can live with clarity, speak truth, and with charity, love with the truth. And that's what these men have challenged. I get the opportunity to get this all the time. I'm so glad to be able to share it with y'all. And I want you to know I'm available if you want to follow up with any conversations with me directly. We'll get the information of how you can be aware of, engaged in, and pray for their ministries also. And you, of course, will be hearing from both of these men more in the future because of the blessed relationship we enjoy in the Lord. Bruce?
Amen, Pastor. Thank you. And men, thank you, both of you, for your friendship and for your service to the Lord. For our sake, and that hour includes way beyond us, every tribe, every nation, every language, every people group. For our sake, God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is unimaginable, unbelievable, but that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. If our program this evening prompted questions for you, send those in, askthepastor@briarwood.org, and we'll try to handle those. You might even have a personal question. You may have a question that really you're not saying, please answer this in the conversations, but could you get a personal or direct answer, even a conversation? Please feel free to reach out. This is a journey. This will not happen overnight. This will not happen with the flip of a light switch, but we'll continue to deal with these things together. Thank you for joining us.